The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
He's for that very much. Take your Bible. Let's go back and review those verses I read to you just a moment ago, if you would please, where the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, the Bible says, then they gladly received, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now watch this very carefully. These people, of course, were saved, and then they followed the Lord in Scripture Believers' Baptism. But that doesn't stop what they're supposed to be doing. You know, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that there was a day where I understood the need to follow the Lord in baptism. I thank the Lord that one day somebody showed me that step of obedience, and I stepped out as a believer, and I followed the Lord in baptism. I thank the Lord for that. But yet the Bible goes on, and it continues. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It says, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so these believers that had received Christ as Savior certainly understood the need, the importance of following the Lord in Scripture Believers' Baptism. But then after that, very noteworthy, does the Bible say that they continued. And then it says that they continued steadfastly. In other words, they were unmovable, always abounding in that which is the Word of God, the work of the Lord. And you'll see how they did that. It says in the apostles' doctrine. Then you'll see it says, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, what I want to do is this. I want to speak this morning on growing together as a church. Growing together as a church. You know, God has blessed us with a wonderful church facility. We have a very nice facility that God has been very kind to be able to grant us. And then also, we have a great spirit that's in our church. I'll be honest with you, I can't name you a problem that's in our church, a disturbance in our church, or things that's on the rise up that as a pastor, I'd be on my hind legs and looking around saying, oh no, I hope that never hits. You know, I don't see anything. The Lord has been very kind to us, and we have a great spirit in our church. We have people that's working outside of our church this morning. Of course, we have about 8 other services going on this morning and about 70, I guess, workers or so that's in those other services, and that's for the teaching and the preaching of the Bible. And so Sunday night, we come back together, and you get to see people on Sunday night that's serving in other places. But all together, as we come together as a church, we, I believe, have a desire to grow. I think we have a desire to grow in the Lord. I think that's good. I think every believer ought to have a desire to earnestly grow in the Lord. But there also ought to be a desire to grow as a church family. You know, how is it that we can grow together in church? Let me give you a couple of statements. Statement number one, we can grow together as a church through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. You know, there's a commonality, if you would please. There's a thread that runs deep here, and that is that we've come together this morning for the preaching of the Bible. I thank God for every song that's been sung. I thank God for the announcements that's been announced. I thank God for the time of being able to receive the tithes and offerings for those that have chosen to be obedient to the Lord in the area of their personal finances. I thank God for all those things. But what's going to draw us close together is the commonality, the common thread that runs deep within our hearts, and that is the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so the Bible talks about there needs to be that time where we come together and we gather around the Word of God. You didn't come together this morning to learn about sales. You didn't come together this morning to learn how to be able to benefit yourself in your healthy structure. You didn't come together this morning to be able to understand the necessity of having your car motor worked on. You came this morning to be able to gather around the Word of God to allow God to be able to speak to your heart because you have an earnest desire, like I have an earnest desire, to grow close to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to grow and to be able to be obedient and to be able to please Him in all matter of life. So because of that, in our church, and what I want to do with this particular message is to be able to help you to see opportunities to be able to grow together in church. Now, by the way, can I tell you, when you see an opportunity, that opportunity only becomes advantageous to you if you decide to get involved in that opportunity. You know, somebody said many years ago, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can set food out on the table, but you can't make anybody eat. All right? And so here at Parkside Baptist Church, what I would like to do this morning is to simply be able to acquaint you with some of the opportunities that are available for God's people to be able to come together and to be able to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, absolutely, but also to be able to grow together as a church family. You know, and it might be throughout the duration of the message this morning, you may look at this and you may evaluate it and you may say, yep, that's for me. Yep, that's for me. Yes, I could do this for God. I could get involved in this aspect of the ministry and be able to help others in this venue in my life. So through the Word of God is how we grow together as a church family. You know, in our church, we're blessed to have upward to 90 different Sunday school classes. Now they're divided. We have A Sunday school. We have B Sunday school. We're getting ready to start some C Sunday school classes. And sometimes our teachers will even teach twice because they have such a burden to be able to give out the Word of God. But we have 15 adult Sunday school classes to be able to find a niche to be able to get in and to be able to have that time of learning the Word of God. We have Sunday school classes at 9:45, and we have Sunday school classes for the B at 12 noon, and we have a C time of coming together where we're developing a Sunday school program for those that come in on our C routes at 2 o'clock. And so we have a variation of times for people to be able to come and be able to hear and learn from the Word of God. May I remind you, please, the Bible does say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm all for everybody reading their Bible every day. I'm all for you listening to sermons as you travel down the highways of the Dallas-Fort Worth area or wherever you drove in from. I'm all for that. But I believe there needs to come a time when God's people come together, and as we come together as a local body, you allow a man of God to be able to be your pastor and to be able to rise up and to be able to open the Bible and tell you, thus saith the Word of God. And so we have a time such as that. At 10:45 on Sunday morning, that's where you are right now in the morning preaching service. We have an evening preaching service at 6 p.m. Then we have a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Now, these are opportunities to be able to grow together in the Lord through the Word of God. We have adult discipleship training at 5 o'clock to 5:45, where we would take a young believer that's just now received Jesus Christ as Savior, and they'll go into a program where we have a basic adult discipleship training, we have an advanced adult discipleship training, and we have a premier adult discipleship training. And many business people have received Christ, and many people that are working diligently in their professions, and many people that are laborers, if you would please, and we have people that's come through that program that are excited about growing in the Lord. And they'll come together and somebody would take them and sit down with them and go through the Bible with them, and it's topically driven. The material is already done, and there's an accountability program to help them to be able to grow in the Lord. And then that Wednesday night Bible study, a little bit different than Sunday morning, a little bit different than Sunday night, but it's a Wednesday night Bible study where we'll come together and I'll hand out different things to be able to fill in, lessons, if you will, as you follow along, and you can take those home and you can be able to restudy that. You can take that home and be able to share that with a friend and be able to show them exactly what the Bible teaches. And so there is ways at Parkside Baptist Church to be able to grow together through the Word of God. Statement number two, to be able to grow together through faith. through faith. The Bible says over in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them saying, it says to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I think it's great to be able to have times where we can come together and pray. We gathered together when Louisiana went through that devastating flood time, and our men and ladies gathered together, and I called the men down front, and we prayed all down front here on a Sunday night, and we prayed that God would be able to allow us to help these ones that was in distress, and we prayed for them as they were in distress. Then we rose up and was able to give thousands of dollars to be able to help churches that were struggling in those particular areas. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so we can come together and we can grow through that which is praying together. Somebody said, the family that prays together stays together. You've heard that motto, haven't you? Or that slogan, if you will. All right. And so as we pray together as a church, I'm not talking about just coming together. And of course, we have the Bible study on Wednesday night. We pass out a prayer sheet, and people begin to pray for different ones. And I try to always, as much as I possibly can as a pastor, stay up on who's in the hospital. And we have what we call a prayer alert text that goes out when somebody's heading into surgery. And I hope you can sign up for that's in the bulletin, and that way you're involved in knowing who's in the hospital and emergencies that rise up so that you can be able to see exactly what is happening, and you can pray for fellow church members and those that are in dire need of your prayers. Then we just started the what we call, it's the pastor's prayer teams, and that is not like in some churches you hear about worship teams and stuff. No, this is a time where people come together and they pray. And we started off with our men, and that is at 520 to 540 in room 111. And on Sunday, it's Brother Castillo heading it up. And on Wednesday, it's Brother Watkins heading it up. And that is 520 to 540 on Wednesday nights. And it is the pastor's prayer team, where men go in there and they pray for our nation. They pray for our president. They pray for our country. They pray for other pastors. They pray for different missionaries that were sponsoring and helping and walking beside as partners and supporting them. And so it's a diligent time for men to come together and to be able to pray for our church and for the pastor of this church, and that God would richly bless our church as we have a strong desire to get out the gospel. And so how can we grow together as a church? Through the Word of God, through prayer, through trials, through trials. You know, as I look back over the history of this church, I find out that the time that was the sweetest time of all, where people are finding themselves to rely more heavily on each other, is through personal trials in their life. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, But the God of all grace, who hath called unto us his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered, it says, for a while. It says, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now notice this. He said, after you have suffered for a while, he says, what that's going to do is it's going to make you perfect, it's going to establish you, it's going to strengthen you, it's going to settle you. Now what makes that happen? A trial. You know, because as we go through trials, we rely on the Lord more. As we go through difficulties, we pray more. You know, there was Uncle Bud that was, of course, Reuben Robinson of many years ago. And he was a great preacher. He was a great evangelist, had no former education. But God used him and called him to preach at the age of 20. He traveled the land as an evangelist for over 60 years. He saw hundreds of thousands of people come to know Christ as Savior. One day, he was visiting New York City, and he saw the bright lights of New York City, and he saw all these things. And he said, but I was stirred for souls. I was not stirred because of the lights, because I was established in Christ. Now, can I tell you that you and I ought to not be drawn away by the flashy things? You and I ought not to be drawn away by those things that would enamor the normal common man that knows not Christ as Savior. But you and I ought to be drawn away by that which is things that God can use in our life. And one of the things that God uses in our life is trials. You know, do you pray more when your tires are fully inflated and you're humming down the highway, or do you pray more when you have a flat tire? Do you pray more when you go to the dentist and all of a sudden he gives you an excellent review with the checkup that you had? Or do you pray more when he says you need a root canal? Do you pray more when all of a sudden, I know I was visiting Karen yesterday that had fallen down and dislocated her shoulder and then broke her area of her arm or elbow of her area of the arm there. And we were visiting her yesterday, Brother Al and I, in the afternoon visitation time. And so we were visiting there yesterday as a follow-up, just to check on her and make sure she's okay. Now, can I tell you, listen, sometimes trials will help us to get closer to the Lord. Sometimes difficulties with a relationship, or a difficulty, if you will, with a vehicle, or a difficulty with your finances, or a difficulty, if you will, in your physical health, sometimes that causes a person to pray more than they ever prayed before, to earnestly seek God more than they ever sought God before. And sometimes trials, however, will show who the real person is. I've said this often: when you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out. When you squeeze a tomato, tomato juice comes out. And when you squeeze a Christian, it shows who they really are, because who they really are comes out. And so we ought to decide that we're going to be able to face the trials of life and be able to come out on top side, simply because of the fact that's the way God would strengthen us if we would so rely on Him to be able to come out. How can we grow together as a church family? Through the Word of God, through prayers, through trials, through godly examples. Godly examples. Now, by the way, may I introduce you to all the people at Parkside Baptist Church that are not perfect. If you look around, you'll not see a perfect person among us. You say, shock, I thought my husband was. No, you'll not see a perfect person among us. We are sinners saved by grace. But because of that, we can shout at the very grace of God, because God's been good to us. There's nobody in this church that's above somebody else. We're all level at the grace and at the mercy of the cross. But notice this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, Paul is speaking here to the church at Corinth, and he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul was a mere man, but he said this. He said, I'm going to try by the best of my ability to be able to live an example so that you might be able to follow me. Then he looks at those that were the church attenders there at Corinth, and he said this. He said, follow me even as I do follow Christ. I hope that you and I this morning are able to have some godly examples in our life. Maybe a godly example like a Sunday school teacher, or a deacon, or a deacon's wife. Maybe a godly example of somebody that's in one of our two educational programs, like somebody that teaches as a teacher in the academy, or an assistant teacher in the academy, or somebody that teaches in our Bible college. It might be a missionary like Lomer Hope De La Cruz that came in that we were able to vote on for support on Wednesday night, as we saw his slide presentation and his heart. It might be that you have other people that's involved in being godly examples in your life. Maybe it's somebody that's a basketball coach through our basketball program here. Or maybe somebody's a volleyball coach through our volleyball program here. Maybe it's somebody that's in the Far Above Rubies program, and you look at them as a leader. Might be somebody that's in the Baptist Scout Rangers program for children, sort of like the Boys Cub Scouts that we have here that we fashion for our church. It might be maybe in the journalism club that we have for teenagers, as you sign up and you interview different ones about their walk of faith and their obedience. It might be a soccer coach that we have here. It might be somebody that's working in the youth department, one of the youth workers, one of the youth leaders. It might be a children's leader that we have in our children's ministry. It might be somebody that sings in the choir. It might be somebody sitting up here on staff. But everybody needs godly examples in their life. It might be a dad and it might be a mom that you look at and you watch them as they come to church and you watch that dad and that mom as they love their children and as they set that example, and you have an earnest desire to be able to love your children the same way. But because of the way that they have displayed themselves, it's a marvelous thing to be able to watch. And that sets an example about the way that a mom and dad ought to love their children. And you look at that and you say, that's exactly what I'd like to have. You might see a husband and wife walking down the hallway holding hands and just making goo-goo eyes at each other, and yet they've been married 42 years. I mean, you know, you have godly examples all around you, people that you can look to, and they're not going to be perfect people. If you stare at them long enough, you're going to find out that maybe he missed just one or two hairs underneath his nose as he was shaving this morning. You stare at them long enough, you're going to find out that maybe she has a hair that's out of place, that's curled in the wrong direction. You stare at them long enough, you're going to find out that perhaps they're not that perfect individual, but they're trying, they're giving it their best shot, they're stepping up to the plate, they're picking up the bat, they're trying to swing it as hard and as rapidly as they possibly can to be able to give the advantage to a husband, to a wife, to that which is a child, so that that person can be able to get closer to God in their obedience. I'm saying that how is it that you and I grow together and become closer as a church family? We do it through the Word of God. We do it through prayers. We do it through trials. We do it through godly example. And here's one that you'll like, I'm certain. We do it through fellowship. Now, by the way, everybody in here can fellowship. Did you know that? You don't even have to know your Bible to fellowship. You can fellowship. You can walk up to somebody and smile at them and shake their hand. And in some way, some fashion, some form, you can actually operate in the realm of communication. I mean, you can fellowship. You might fellowship about golfing. You might fellowship about goofing. You might fellowship about going shopping. You might fellowship about fishing. You might fellowship about hunting. You might fellowship about rodeoing. You might fellowship about the farm that you live on and the different type of animals that you are raising. You might fellowship about children. You might fellowship about education. You might fellowship about finances. You might fellowship about spiritual growth. You might fellowship about soul winning. You might fellowship about reading godly material. You might fellowship about all sorts of things, but can I tell you one thing for certain? You can grow close to somebody by not shutting up, but by being able to fellowship with them. Amen. You know, fellowship about different things that you do. Learn to talk to people. We live in the Western society, and can I tell you, our Western society has changed over the past 20 years like I knew it. Used to be people would be neighborly. Now everybody is kind of like living in a closed box. Have you noticed that? It's like everybody wants to be to themselves and all by themselves, and please don't bother me in my little world. But I didn't grow up in that type of America. The America I grew up in was a time to invite a neighbor over and just have a good time and fellowshipping. Just have a good time and going out to Brahms or going out to Outback Steakhouse or going to some other place, Season 52 or wherever you want to go. And you take and you fellowship together. You enjoy each other together. You be able to spend time with each other together. And you nurture that. You know, you can fellowship many different ways. We have a couples retreat that we're getting ready to take a cruise down to Mexico, and many have signed up. Many couples in our church have signed up for that, and Dr. Mike Ray is going to be our special speaker on that particular trip, and it's going to be a time for couples to grow together. Well, can I tell you, what is that going to be? That's going to be fellowship. We have an annual conference. We have three of them. One of them is the annual Baptist Leadership Conference. It's a national conference. Last year, we had 52 preachers that came. Many of those were pastors, and they came up on the platform. We were able to get pictures together and remembering, of course, us coming together. And we have that every April. And what is that? That's a time to be able to come together and to fellowship with these men of God and these other churches that attend that particular conference. We have overseas. We have what we call the Soul Winning Leadership Conference. We've been doing those for over 15 years. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pastors and missionaries will come from around the globe to be able to attend one of these training conferences, to be able to learn how to start independent Baptist churches and how to be somebody that's strong in their faith and how to step out and be obedient to the Lord. Hey, what is that? That's a form of fellowship. We have a National Ladies Conference coming up in about 10 days. And Mrs. Fugit's going to fly in, and I think Brother Fugit's coming with her, and she's going to speak to our ladies. And it's going to be a wonderful time for our ladies to come together and to be able to enjoy each other's fellowship as hundreds of ladies will come from various churches around the Dallas-Fort Worth area and other areas. Now, what is that? That's a place to be able to have fellowship. We have a National Youth Conference that's taken off. And I'm so glad Brother Jonathan and his different ones that help out with that has done a marvelous job. And now watch. And so that's a time where young people are coming here from all over to be able to attend the National Youth Conference. And we have national speakers that will preach to our young people, and our families come together and listen to old-fashioned preaching. And what a wonderful time. Our annual missions conferences, missionaries come and we love on them and we're able to be able to help them. That's not a national conference. It's just for our church. But can I tell you what a wonderful time to be able to enjoy the fellowship with God's people. All the banquets that we have and all the activities that we have. And you say, oh, preacher, sounds like there's a lot going on. Yeah, there's a lot of places to be able to fellowship and plug in if you want to fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, the Bible says, let us consider, it says, one another to provoke onto, it says, love and to good works. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, it says, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Says exhorting one another. That's the emphasis there. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to exhort one another. We're supposed to help one another. How do we do that? We fellowship together. Then let me give you just one last thought, if I may. In that fellowshipping together, there's also a time to serve. Serve. And so as a church, how is it that we can grow closer together? Through the Word of God, through prayers, through trials, through godly examples, through fellowship, and through serving. Through serving. You know, there's so many ways to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe this. I believe that the only institution, and you do too as you know your Bible, the only institution that Jesus Christ established during his earthly ministry is the local church. You know, now, if God thought that maybe another institution was better than that, then certainly he would establish that through his son. He did not do that. He only established one. It's called the local church. So God himself, through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, thought it so imperative, so important. That's why I think it was last Sunday morning or Sunday night, I preached a message on why we have Sunday night church. Because for God's people to come together, that is so important. Especially in our day, as we see that things, if you will, please, are not going in the way of walking and pleasing the Word of God, you and I ought to come together and unite together as God's children to say, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, we are going to serve the Lord. You know, it's very humbling to work. It really is. It's very humbling to work beside people in our church that have such servants' hearts. You don't have to ask somebody to do something twice. Most of the time, you don't even have to ask. They just volunteer. Now, what is that? That's a servant's heart. We have 8 different times of soul winning to be able to go out, and a person could choose one of those times. And now, what is that? Well, that's a servant's heart. Yesterday, it was so neat as we had a soul winning emphasis, and this room in here, it was pretty full down here on the bottom floor, and people were excited about going out. And so we had adult soul winning yesterday. We had an emphasis on teen soul winning yesterday as they had a teen soul winning marathon, and we had a children's track attack. Can I tell you, it is so neat to watch the children's track attack. Because we had little girls that were getting off, and they had these little stuffed animals. And then they had Bible tracts in one hand, and they were going out inviting people to come here. Passed out our children, first through sixth grade, passed out 1,000 tracts yesterday. Amen. In 1 hour. And then they came back and ate pizza. Amen. Amen. They ate pizza for about an hour and a half, and they passed out tracts for. But no, it was good. Now, watch this, okay? But as the children were getting off of their bus, and Brother Palmore's outside taking a video, it looked like, of it, the children were getting off their bus, and they were running in to get their pizza, the teenagers were loading up on their bus. And over 50 teenagers went out, and yesterday, every single one of our teenagers had the privilege to lead somebody to Christ. Every single one of them had 94 people that bowed their heart to receive Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute, watch that. And then our adults was out yesterday, and you said, well, what is that all about? Well, I'll tell you what it's all about. It is taking serious the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, because people are going to die and people's going to burn in hell. And the only time that we can make a difference in somebody's life is while we're still alive and breathing. That's the only time. I'm not going to be able to give out gospel tracts when I'm dead. If I did, you'd run. But I'm not going to be able to take and share the gospel with somebody else when I get so old and, yea, in my personal life, decrepit, if I get that way, that I'm not able to walk or functionally be able to help somebody. So I might as well do it while I'm alive and well. And so here we have young people that's involved, and we have adults that's involved. We have so many different things with the children's choirs and the Far Above Rubies for girls, where they learn how to cook and they learn how to sew. They learn how to be able to knit and crochet, and they learn how to be able to make crafts that one day they'll be able to use in their own families, you know, where they have godly devotions and godly examples to go by. You know, so many things that we have, as we have the Pee Wee soccer, and we have, of course, as I said a moment ago, the Baptist Scout Rangers program, and then we got the teen soul winning and the workers on a bus route and the teen yard sale and a car wash and a banquet and the marathons that we do and the activities that we do and all the different types of things. Now, wait a minute. Can I say this as I close this morning? Do we understand where the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and also in verse 10, says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, the Bible says this, as we have therefore opportunity, it says, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So what do? We help young people to be able to see, and adults be able to see, man, there's a wonderful way to serve Jesus Christ. Isn't it neat to be able to walk up to somebody and say, hey, sure do love you, sure do appreciate you, and I want to help you to grow. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat to be able to walk beside someone, you know, years ago, and I'll give you a closing example here. There was a man by the name of Mel Trotter. Now, Mel Trotter was famous in the rescue mission work. The reason that Mel Trotter was very famous and infamous in his work to try to reach those that were derelicts and those that had severe alcohol problems is because his daddy was a bartender. And Mel Trotter learned to drink at the age of 6 as he was coming up on his dad's knee. And so as he watched his dad, he said oftentimes watching his daddy, as his daddy was a bartender, that he drank probably just as much as he sold. So he grew up watching a dad that was drinking and it was gambling. Mel Trotter grew up the same way as he began to drink at the age of 6, and he could not keep a job. One day his son died in a tragic, tragic thing Mel Trotter did do. He crept down beside his son. He stole his shoes off of him, the baby's shoes, as the baby lay there in a casket, took those shoes and sold those shoes just so he could go out and buy more liquor. Tragedy. You watched him over and over again, but one day he walked beside the Pacific Garden Mission there in Chicago. He stepped inside, and for the very first time in his life, he heard that Jesus loved him. For the very first time in his life, he heard a pure presentation of the gospel. And as a man that was coming up as a drunken stupor almost every single day of the week, he bowed his heart. He received Christ as Savior. Then he took on being somebody that would go forth and push the rescue mission ministry. He went out and he would try and get people to come into the rescue mission, and he would preach the gospel. And his testimony was, I was like you one day, but Jesus Christ changed me forever. And so he would go out and he would try as hard as he could to bring people into the rescue mission so that the gospel could be preached. During those days, of course, there was men also that had made decisions, like Billy Sunday, that walked in to the Pacific Garden Mission, where also he heard and was reminded about his a need to turn his life over to Christ. And he did do that. And later on, of course, he left the White Stockings to be able to go into the ministry and to preach the Bible, to preach the gospel. Mel Trotter, God changed his life, and he was so saddened by the way that he treated his wife and what he did with his baby as his son laid there in the casket. And he remembered all these things, and he said he never forgot those things. And so when he got saved, he got on the trail and started telling people about Jesus Christ, and he did it until the day he died. Now, can I tell you, listen, I've seen people here in Dallas, and I've talked to people that's been beggars on the street, and I don't know about you, but I do feel for people that is caught in such a dilemma as that. But I remember talking to one man, and this one man said, you know, if I only could have been what I was supposed to be. That's what he said. If I only could have been what I was supposed to be. And I said, what were you supposed to be? He said, I was studying to be a lawyer. And here he is living underneath a bridge. Now, can I tell you, listen, did you know that God has better for you? And can I tell you also, by the good grace of God, God could help you. As we come to that which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive Christ as our Savior, can I tell you very plainly, very forthright, very straightforward this morning, that Jesus Christ has a great plan for your life. And God could use you. And we have a church family right here. You know, we're not a highfalutin family. And we're not somebody, if you would please, that's just, you know, we're way up here. We look at everybody else. They're way down. No, no, no. If you would get to know our church family, you're going to find out that we do care. You're going to find out that we love people. You're going to find out we'll go the extra mile to help a family. We'll do whatever we can to be able to help somebody to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to help somebody to go forward and to get the gospel out to the ends of the world. You know, many times I'll be praying, and I'll be praying over the mission fields, and boy, tears have come down my face because I've got such a burden to be able to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, that ought to be the way that it is in your heart, and that ought to be the way that it is in your family's life, where there's an earnest desire not to just live and die unto yourself. Man, thank God you got a wife, and thank God you got a husband. Thank God you've got children, but there's a world out there that's dying without Christ. And if you and I would allow that to sink deeply in our hearts, could you imagine what God could do in you and through you? Could you imagine how God could use you to reach the ends of the world with the gospel? And could you imagine, as we come together as a church family, how you and I be able to help people? And I'm talking about just helping the masses. I'm talking about one by one. I'm talking about encouraging people. I'm talking about helping people to become more obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about how you and I stand up and we decide that we're going to be the ones that we ought to be so that others can become what they ought to be for Jesus Christ. There's a way that we can grow together as a church family. Many different ways that you can dive in. I would strongly, highly recommend that you do one of those ways. Father, please, I pray you'll bless.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.